Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
One day closer to Bills and Ravens this Sunday, 6:30 kickoff. Zach Jones, Josh Mann here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. This game could be played today. I'm ready. I'm ready, Josh. I'm about done with, like, the waiting. Like, yeah. The idea that we're going to have two playoff games on Saturday before the Bills play, I'm just like, come on.
I mean, how locked into the Texans-Chiefs games are you going to be?
I mean, I'm going to be completely locked in because it's playoff football.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a good chance if Houston looks as bad as they did against the Chargers, then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go get lunch.
That was, like, the most frustrating part about it is, like, Houston was, like, not great, but L.A. was just that much worse, where it was like, you know, going into this, I felt great that if L.A. won, they could go to Kansas City and, like, at least put up a fight and maybe beat them. But then after that game, I'm like, I don't want either of these teams to go to Kansas City. I would, like, nothing more than having neither of them go there and, like, Baltimore goes there.
Yeah, the only bonus is that the Chiefs have had arguably too much rest because now you're getting into the
rust. You're in like a month for Patrick Mahomes.
I think it's been like 21 days.
Yeah.
But it does become that rust argument of, like, has it been too long? Like, should they have played a little bit against Denver
right. With
this upcoming now? And we're going to find out. I like a lot of the defensive pieces for Houston. I don't think they'll be able to do enough, though, to beat them, especially in Arrowhead.
I mean, I wonder how much the defense is going to come into play for the Texans just because of the fact that the Chiefs have not had perfect ball security like they normally do in recent years. So I'm not saying Mahomes is going to go throw four interceptions or anything like that, but one or two might be costly in terms of where they are on the field and how close the score is and everything like that. So even though Houston's offense isn't as good as Kansas City's or anyone else for that matter, I still think that their defense could really change the game for them and not necessarily score points, but put them in a very good position to easily score points.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for these games to get going.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely ready for these games to get going because we're waiting constantly, and like the talking points, like none of them are changing. Like even Zay Flowers, who missed yesterday's practice. Harbaugh started off the week, though, going like, I mean, he doesn't have to practice at all this week to play in the game. Yeah. So, like, even then, you can't totally take, like, the injury reports, like, for what they are, because you're like, well, Harbaugh already set up kind of the idea that he probably won't practice at all this week. And then for the Bills, like, cool, like, their injury reports came in. You kind of assume nobody was, like, in dire straits. Codrington was a full participant. Al Ganderson limited. Like, so they're starting, like, the feel, and now it's the waiting game. It's just to get to Sunday.
Well, the thing I was thinking about this morning with Zay Flowers specifically is the weather. Like, the weather on Sunday, and Patrick Hamer from WGRZ tweeted this out this morning, that it's basically going to be the New England game from 3 years ago, the perfect game.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold, and it's going to be just not great to be outdoors in that weather. But, hey, we love it. It's why we live here.
It makes it easier to kind of like root for that, or at least be okay with it, knowing that when it was that cold, the offense didn't go away. They've had multiple games, of course, also being the perfect game where, you know, they've lit teams up. Mm-hmm. The passing attack has not gone away.
Well, right. So I'm thinking you're thinking about that game too, obviously, because it's an identical forecast. But then I also can't help but think about the Bengals game, the Bengals playoff game from a couple years ago, and that one was different, obviously, because it wasn't as cold, but it was a lot more snow, and the snow was, you know, that wet, heavy lake effect that caused a lot of footing problems. We saw the Bills had a lot of, and even the Bengals, too, had some problems being able
The Bills more than anybody. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for sure. But so that in mind, if Zay Flowers is hurt with a knee injury, and again, I don't know if the snow is going to, you never know what the snow is going to be like till you're out there, but if the field is similar to what it was in the Bengals game, is that going to affect his game status? Because obviously you don't want the guy to get any more hurt than he already is, because if you do win the game, you want him for the championship game and potentially the Super Bowl.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, you might want your best wide receiver on the field against a really good defense. So it's kind of this waiting game, I think, because the forecast doesn't look like it's going to change. You don't really know what Zay Flowers is doing because he's been out of practice. So I really wonder just how he specifically can be ready for this and how the Ravens as a whole can be ready for a game like this, because most of these guys also have not played in weather like this before.
That Bengals game was a disaster. 27-10 Bengals. They took a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. The leading rusher for the Bills in terms of attempts was Allen with 8. He threw the ball 42 times. They were chasing the entire game. Burrow threw the ball 36 times. I do remember it was a lot of short passes, and they were kind of just like matriculating down the field. Joe Mixon, 20 rushing attempts for 105 yards and a touchdown. Just a really bad game all around for the Bills.
I remember very early on.
It wasn't cold. I mean, it was 32 degrees.
Yeah. But that was the problem, I think. Yeah. And that's why, like, the more I've thought about it this morning, I don't think the Bengals game is going to be similar to what this game will be because of how much colder it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder, though, still, even with conditions like this, the field is going to be basically frozen. And once again, do you want an injured player playing on a weird field, a field that's not as forgiving and not as...
No, I mean, you saw yesterday for the Ravens, they had to move practice inside due to their field being frozen.
Yep.
And so...
The Bills also practiced inside.
Well, yeah. But it's going to be... It's one of those things, though. I don't think the weather's going to necessarily play too much of a factor. This is not like a team like Miami or one of the L.A. teams or San Francisco. It's a team like Baltimore who also deals with cold weather. I know there's been a lot of jokes, too, about Lamar Jackson, how basically it'll be 50 degrees and he's got to wear like some sort of like thermal gear underneath. I get it. It's fun. But like with both these teams having really good running games... maybe more than anybody else, Baltimore having a really good running game, the weather just won't, I think, matter too much. And that's where, like, stopping Henry, I think, becomes so paramount to how the game will go. And so it does become the idea of, like, what is actually a successful day against Derrick Henry? What is, hey, you won.
Right.
And that's the thing. You could still lose the game. We're not saying that necessarily you beat Derrick Henry, you're going to win. They have Lamar Jackson, who will likely win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But what is a successful day in stopping Derrick Henry? And I think giving yourself the best chance to win the game. For me personally, it really is just 120 yards, a touchdown is probably pretty good. Honestly, though, if you hold him under 20 attempts, you likely were having them chase the entire game.
Yeah,
you likely put him in a spot where Jackson's throwing the ball 30-plus times a game, or 30-plus times
which,
a game.
Which, to be fair, this season he's not really accustomed to that. There's been games, sure, where he's had to do that, but for the recent games, Lamar Jackson has not had to throw over even 25 times. So I think that is kind of the key stat that I'd be looking at, too. Yes, yardage and touchdowns obviously matter, but like you said, if you have him under 20 attempts, it's going to drastically change how they're playing the game. And that means that you're winning the sort of mental game of like the offensive game plan versus defensive game plan and everything like that. So, but that question in general, I put it up on my Twitter. If you want to go respond there, if you want to give us a call, 803-0550, you can do that as well. But we do have some comments coming in. Zach tweets in, anything under 100 yards is a win, I'd say. And I think that's right. I think that would be like, obviously, like you'd have to have a really good day, but he's been held under 100 yards 7 times this season, I think. So it's not impossible. It's doable.
It's very doable. Absolutely. It just doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I look at some of the games where he didn't have over 20 carries. I think it's probably the big one for me. Kansas City, they lose that game. He has 13 carries. To be fair, you could argue they were sort of trying to figure that out. Vegas, again, they also lose. He has 18 carries. Cincinnati, a game they win, but in a shootout he has 15.
What's his yardage in the Cincinnati game?
92 yards.
Hmm.
So he's about six yards per rush.
Yeah, okay.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's also the thing, too, is like how many yards per attempt is like good enough for you? And like for me, I think like at most you have to neutralize him from getting a first down every single run.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything under 10 yards per carry is kind of ideal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that might seem like a lot to ask, especially against Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Bills defense is much more suited for it this time than they were in week four.
Yeah. He also had 11 rushing attempts against Cleveland in their loss, 29-24. He did put up, though, 73 yards. Again, it's a game, though, where you make Jackson throw 38 times. I think a big part of that, too, is their receivers aren't the best. They're not bad by any means. Flowers, Bateman, Andrews, and Likely as well. Like, they're good. But when you start moving away from what the Ravens do best, that, I think, is where it becomes a big problem for them. And I think that's going to be ultimately the task, is to just limit how many times they're giving him the ball. In their losses, it's when he doesn't have the ball 20-plus times. They've won games where he doesn't have to. The Giants game, he had 14 rushing attempts. In that game, they kind of let Jackson let it fly. And they were scoring quickly, so there really was no point to it. That game was out of reach fairly soon. Philadelphia, 19-82. They lose that game 24-19. For me, it's all about score early. Score early and move them out of their comfort zone.
And that really does show you like what it means to keep him under 20 rushing attempts, because like all those games right there, either close wins or losses.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, when they lose 18-16, he has 13 rushing attempts. Cincinnati, in a game they win by 1 point, he has 16 rushing attempts, 68 yards.
Wow.
I think that's your game plan. It's just do not let them just give him the ball over and over and over and over again. And to that point, Jared tweets in, stuffing him on first and second downs, limiting big runs of 10-plus yards. If you make them into a second and long team, a third and long team, and I know third down defense is a struggle. They were 2-for-9 on third downs, though, against Denver. That at least is a good sign. But if you get them into second and long, third and long, and they have to go away from Henry, they're not – you know, second and three type situations where they can kind of do whatever they want. They can go to that option play. They can keep giving it to Henry. You're setting yourself up better. It's not like the Ravens are perfect. They do have 5 losses. They have lost games. I think the Bills are better in terms of, I think it's points per drive. So, I mean, that's the thing. And that's where I would argue the Bills' offense is maybe more dangerous than the Ravens
it's
the efficiency, but there's different avenues that they can go. Mm-hmm. There's games where James Cook has completely annihilated teams and you could really lean on the run, especially with the offensive line. There have been other games, though, where Allen just kind of takes over and you're going to Shakir, you're going to Cooper,
you're going to
Samuel,
Allen,
to Coleman. Yeah, and Allen's kind of just doing everything. With my only issue is I don't know if the Bills have the capabilities on defense to force them to not run the ball. That is my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want you to do. They want to force you into running the ball and kind of moving down the field that way, so that when you get a penalty, you get a false start, whatever, you move back, they can kind of take advantage. That's where the turnovers come in and such. They're forcing you to be perfect for a 15-play drive.
Yeah.
Which is very, very hard to do.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think that's something else that kind of got underrated throughout this entire week in the conversation is not taking penalties, is being smart in terms of, you know, doing your job and just not going too far outside the lines, mm-hmm. right? Like, not that the Bills have had massive issues with that all season, but this is a type of game where you really can't have any of those issues, right? Like, this is a game where even one or two defensive or either one or two penalty flags
mm-hmm.
can change the course of the game. I mean, if you get a big stop on third down and all of a sudden you see a flag fly for some extracurriculars after the whistle, like, not to say that the Bills do that often, but it's a high-intensity game. It's a I don't want to say rival because they don't have that big of a heated rivalry, but both teams are hungry for more and are frustrated that they haven't gotten past Kansas City. So, like, you kind of wonder, like, how much things like that play into it, too, in terms of just being smart on the field along with sticking to your game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big tide turner that we've seen game in and game out for every single team in the NFL this year.
I just get worried with the Bills' defense. And this is where it all comes up to matchups. Nate Geary yesterday with Bulldog was talking about how it's kind of like this vicious cycle for the AFC playoffs where, like, Baltimore does not match up well against Kansas City. Kansas City matches up well against Baltimore. Buffalo doesn't match up well against Baltimore. Baltimore matches up well against Buffalo. And Buffalo matches up well against Kansas City. And Kansas City does not match up well against Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you're in this awful, vicious cycle of, like, no one's actually playing the team they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, as Bills fans, we were sitting there going, I really hope Kansas City loses out of the one. Yes, you get the one seed, you get the bye, you get the lowest team available. But then that also meant you're not playing Baltimore until at latest the AFC Championship game,
yeah,
which is your worst matchup. And you'd likely have to see Kansas City go up against Baltimore, and Kansas City matches up better against them. It's this vicious cycle. And that's my fear, is that for the most part, their strategy has worked. But against a team like, I would say, a Baltimore, I'd say like a Philadelphia as well. If you got to a Super Bowl against them, it doesn't match up well. They have to get out to an early lead. I think that's ultimately what it is. You have to get out to an early lead. I'm not saying take the ball on the opening kickoff if you win the coin toss. I am saying, though, in that first drive, you at worst have to give up a field goal. You can't give up a touchdown. You can't put it to it's 0-0 after two drives. I've said it a lot this week. It feels like the first quarter for this game is going to play massively into how the rest of this game is played for both teams. If the Bills, we just looked at it, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. If the Bills jumped out to a 14-0 lead, number one, we're all losing our minds. Collectively, we are losing our gourd.
There's so many different things happening, and it's all happening all at once.
Yeah. But if that happens, it changes how Baltimore's allowed to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen this team. Todd Monken's getting head coaching interviews, and I think rightfully so. But you saw last year against the Chiefs, even before anything happened, they decided they wanted to throw the ball more. Now, they didn't have Derrick Henry, but they, on a whim, decided, well, this is how we're going to win today.
Right. After having it work all season long, yeah, they just completely changed their game plan, which is just it's mind-boggling still to see that.
But if you put them in a position where, damn, we got to do it anyways, we have to do this, mm-hmm, it's good for you. Especially, they're on the road, they're in a silent count, they are the second most penalized team in football. You put them in a bad spot. I think even if it's just 7-0 and maybe their first drive doesn't go perfectly and it's not an immediate like run down and score, because I'm not saying the Bills are going to definitively win the coin toss. They may not.
Right. Yeah.
But even if it's not a perfect drive for them and they have to punt it, whatever, and the Bills go out and score, boom, I think it changes for them. They're on the road. It's a silent count. You are penalized a lot. And you are a team that is built through the run, getting it done with Henry and Jackson. I think it changes how everything is going to be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For them. That's easier said than done, though. That's
right.
Way easier said than done. Their defense has been very good over the last month and a half.
Yeah. And I think, too, speaking on that offensive line point there, like, Something I also was thinking about with that whole thing of how they've been penalized a lot and had all these issues this year, it kind of shows you like the stark contrast between the Bills' offensive line and other teams and where they're at with their offensive line. Like, yes, their offensive line is good, but it's not like good together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they have good pieces. They have pieces that can open up Derrick Henry, open up Lamar Jackson, but they're not consistently good. They're not always perfectly in sync. So if you can exploit that with your defensive tackles, with your edge rushers, even with like linebackers coming in on a blitz or cornerbacks coming in on a blitz, that I think is an underrated part of this game plan, is mm-hmm. the fact that you can pick apart that offensive line and just kind of break things down and just get pressure on these guys. Make Derrick Henry go horizontal instead of vertical. Make Lamar Jackson rush on some of these plays, like in terms of not running, but in terms of making up his mind a lot faster than he normally has to, because he's a guy that can extend plays. But if you can break down that pocket quickly and effectively because this offensive line might not be as mm-hmm. good, then that's another way that they can easily get through these guys, not necessarily by getting a sack or getting a tackle in the backfield, but just by making them uncomfortable, right? Like putting it in their heads early on that you are going to be making their day uncomfortable all game long.
Yeah, and that's where, like, looking back at the Pittsburgh game and why, like I mentioned with Sal yesterday, where it's just, like, it's tough for me to take anything from that. Pittsburgh didn't want to play. You're talking with Nate Geary yesterday, too. It was the same thing. It was like, Pittsburgh had no desire to be in that game. And you could tell, even on those read option plays, how fast they would bite on the running back and just let Jackson kind of do whatever he wanted. I mean, that's kind of what it got to. They didn't want to be there. I'm not saying like now like that's it's going to make the difference here, but it's just I've looked at the teams they've beat up in these last few weeks to get here. It's a lot of bad teams. I don't want to say it's inflated their stats. The Bills have played bad teams as well, and they haven't necessarily blown them away. The first New England game this year was kind of a tough, like, all right, guys, are you okay? Right, okay, we're fine. It's like to your point, making him uncomfortable. Is that where you get the bad Lamar Jackson playoff game? Where if the first drive or two don't go well, does he all of a sudden start pressing? Does he get real tight?
Does he tense up?
Does it become that, oh no, here we go again, I've got to push, I've got to make a play, and that's where the defense that has the best turnover differential in the sport this year gets one or two, whether it be a fumble, an interception, anything like that. I don't know, because a lot of this year, too, has also been Allen and Lamar being better at that aspect. Lamar was never a big turnover guy. Allen was. But now, 4 interceptions to 41 touchdown passes? It's a hell of a season. Allen, only 6 this year. That's a career high for Aaron, or career low for him. And so that's kind of become my big thing, is like, I don't think the Bills match up well, but I feel good about them. I guess it's one of those things where I do think Allen is an ultimate equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, I don't want to say you got to hope, but the longer this week has gone on, I'm excited for the game. I think they can win. I'm not saying necessarily they will. We'll pick the game later.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think you are going to, like, to our point yesterday, what do you think is more likely, a Sean McDermott blunder or a Lamar Jackson bad playoff game? I think you need to hope that comes back.
Well,
he's not playing well, and you don't even need to worry about a blunder because it's like a 10-point game.
I don't really think both can happen. I think one activates the other. If Sean McDermott has a great game coaching-wise and a great defensive scheme built up with Bobby Babich, that will activate, potentially, like you were just saying, it'll activate or could activate a Lamar Jackson bad playoff performance.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, if Lamar Jackson's having a day and, McDermott has to kind of think on the fly here and make big changes and it doesn't work out, then it's the opposite. I don't think both of those things can happen. I know we kind of joked about that a little bit yesterday of them going back and forth,
it'd be so much fun.
But I really do think that if you have a good game plan for this, you can kind of bring out bad playoff Lamar.
Mm.
That can be brought out just by your defensive game plan. I don't think that's been that in the past. I think in the past it's kind of been him as a younger player not really having that playoff experience. But now he's been here for this long. He's been in all these games. He's made all these mistakes. I think you have to find a way to start making him make mistakes. And one of those things, like I was saying, is kind of blow up that offensive line and just put pressure on him. Don't even have to hit him. Just put pressure on him. Make him run around. Make him – and I know him running around is pretty dangerous. But again, if you keep him and Henry horizontal instead of vertical, I think that's going to make a huge difference.
It could. It could. My only issue is the defensive line we've had issues with at times.
Oh, I know.
Von Miller's popped off. He only played 9 snaps the last time that happened. I get it, but it is also one of those things of just they haven't been that unit that necessarily does it. And against a guy like Jackson, you wonder if it's even going to matter.
But I think the key there, though, is you know they can do it because they've done it before. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily all of them firing on all cylinders on the same day, but you've seen Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau have big days well. Maybe Daquan Jones and Von Miller are kind of not doing as well. Or A.J. Epenesa comes in and gets an interception or a safety or a sack or whatever. Like, there are so many guys on that line that I think they can make up for each other having an off day or having not as good of a day. It just depends on what ones are showing up, essentially. Because if it's A.J. Epenesa, that's great. But then you got to get him on the field more because he's not on the field as much as these other guys. So it's kind of this delicate balance of who's going to be out there when and how can they kind of activate themselves here.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick time out here. Kai, we'll get to you on the other side if you want to join the show. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio will join the show in just about an hour as the Bills got back to the practice field yesterday. And an injury report looked pretty darn good for the Bills, maybe less so for the Baltimore Ravens. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.